Saturday night. They had the big protests on Friday. Come Saturday night, of course, the tanks had started to roll in and were on the perimeter of our community, Mahdi. There's two kind of main ways to get in, and the tanks were there, and which wasn't too unsettling. But then you heard on the news rumors that prisoners had escaped and that there were thugs roaming and looting. We got a phone call from a friend who was in touch with a friend who's lived here for 30 years who said, you know, you need to lock your doors and make sure your BOAB, your building manager, it's called the BOAB here, locks your front door. We live in kind of a rickety building and we don't have our front door is glass and doesn't lock. So that had me a little concerned. But then all of a sudden I heard automatic gunfire and looked out the window and you could see a group of men with pipes and sticks hitting things. And the rumor was that they would come into your home and either kill you and loot your house. So we, needless to say, quickly barricaded our door, actually grabbed a neighbor from downstairs, a single woman, grabbed her, pulled her up into our apartment, barricaded our door, and called another couple that were two floors below us, and they'd already barricaded their door. And then that night we had a lot of automatic gunfire right around our building, and we had actually tank fire as well. The tanks were coming up our streets, and I'm not sure why, but they were actually firing right behind our house too. So that night was tense. But then the next night, probably the most amazing thing was the Egyptian people, the local, just regular people, really band together and had watch groups. And so they were out there with baseball bats, clubs, knives. And, you know, we would go out with our BOAB and one night just sit, and he had a fire going and there were BOABs and local folks, you know, that own either apartments or businesses just sitting out by their fires. They actually would take lampposts and take them down and put them across streets, cut some of the trees down, put them across the street or big pieces of concrete so cars couldn't come flying through. And they really took care of a lot of they captured a lot of the prisoners that escaped. And what came to be found out was when they captured some of the looters, they were actually the police from Mubarak's secret police. So the thinking is that he purposely set his men out to loot, to distract people, and to make it look as if he's not in, he's the only thing that keeps the country together. And if he's not in power, these types of things happen. And then to make it so that people were too tired to go protest. I mean, people were not getting any sleep at all.
Did you and Sandra ever consider leaving?
Every day. Yeah, that's been very difficult. We feel safe right now, except for that one night. We would have jumped on any helicopter that came by that night. But other than that, we feel safe. But, you know, it's such a fine line between I'm okay, oops, it's not okay. And once you're past that, you know, it could be a bad situation. So we think about it every day. Right now, the embassy, as you're well aware of, has ordered all non-essential personnel with the embassy out. Of course, we're not part of the embassy, so we don't fall under their umbrella. But, you know, to me, the U.S. embassy is a fairly good gauge if something's safe or not. But as of now, we haven't evac'd. I have friends who evacuated. I know different schools have evacuated, maybe not to the States or to Europe, but at least to safer areas. There's a resort on the Red Sea called Sharm. And so I know of a school that's there. As of now, though, our school has not deemed it, has not found it's necessary to evacuate us.